Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. And I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can find our regular ass site at reviewandroast.com. You can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com. And you can find pictures of stuffs at instagram.com/reviewandroast. And if you want to hear our new demo, it just dropped on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com. No, it actually didn't.
It's not. No.
Although Mike was just beatboxing, so that was pretty interesting.
It was not good.
Okay, so seeing as though I have been extremely out of the loop for a very long time, we're going to talk about Peaky Blinders Season 1 and 2, because I just blew through those, and then we'll move on to Season 3 and 4, and we'll do that one in probably a couple of weeks. So this is going to be a kind of recap slash what we thought of Peaky Blinders Seasons 1 and 2. Mike has actually watched all four, but he's going to not spoil it for the rest of us as best he can.
Correct.
With the recap of the final episode of Season
2. Yeah, that's why we just watched the last episode of Season 2 just now. So that way I know where we're at, who's alive.
Well, he kind of knows where we're at because he did kind of just play Candy Crush the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't have to see it. I just needed I needed the placeholder.
He watched it crystal style, is what we like to call it.
Ugh.
Hey,
anywho,
you did it. For those of you who are not familiar, Peaky Blinders is a series, obviously, on Netflix. A gangster family epic set in 1919 Birmingham, England, and centered on a gang who sews razor blades into the peaks of their caps and their fierce boss, Tommy Shelby, who means to move up in the world. Created by Stephen Knight, starring Cillian Murphy, Paul Anderson, Helen McCroy, and just actually a whole bunch of people in here. Sam Neill is in it. Tom Hardy is in it.
There'll be a few faces you may know from other shows.
You may or you may not know.
You might not. You could not.
Arguably, you would recognize Cillian Murphy as he played, help me out here, why can't I think of
Scarecrow?
It? Yes, he played Scarecrow in Batman Begins, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those ones.
Yeah, it was Batman Begins, because then the next one was the Joker, and then Bane. Actually, mm-hmm. So we have Bane and Scarecrow both in this, because Tom Hardy is also in here.
Dig it.
And as always, everyone complains about they can't understand him. So.
Yeah, that's the good part about that, I thought. I don't know.
Well, I don't think that's actually true. I just wanted to make fun.
Oh, lots of people do complain. Whenever there's like accented movies.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Series.
Oh yeah,
like this. They don't go quite as far as like the Snatch gypsy dialogue. You know what I mean? If you recall Brad Pitt in Snatch, where you couldn't understand every third word, or actually, you might have been only able to understand every third word. They do a lot of that in this. You know, a lot of people just we're not from England
or Ireland.
1920s or Ireland in the 1920s. So I'm not really sure, but they seem to do a pretty good job of being in character.
Well, most of these actors and actresses are English-born, mm-hmm. Irish-born, and they actually speak this way. You know, I'm sure they're thickening it up for certain parts because some of them do play the quote-unquote gypsies.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm sure it's a little easier to do that, you know, when you actually have the accent. But anywho, so basically what you have is the Shelby family who, you know, basically in season one, they start out, you know, they're just kind of small-time gangsters. They own a bar. You know, they might, they run a little bookie house that, you know, it brings in some money, obviously, but it's nothing big time. It's basically just localized. And, you know, Tommy Shelby, rewind a little bit, spent some time in the military. So, you know, he's back. He's trying to, you know, get a feel for the family business, where it's at, all that good stuff, you know, the Godfather type shit. And then he just, you know, he decides, I want more. I mean, it's cool that we have a little bar that we can hang out at, that, and it's cool we have our little bookie house, but...
But it's a very little...
It's very localized.
The operation is super small, just a couple of blocks, you know, kids trying to make a buck. whatever.
Right. So he wants to basically own the world. And he's actually not the oldest in the family. The oldest would be the brother.
Arthur,
who is played by Paul Anderson. At first, in the very first episode, I was like, oh, my God, this guy is going to be super annoying. And I couldn't have been more wrong. He's probably one of my favorite characters.
Well,
in the
show. The very first episode, if I recall correctly, Arthur's sort of the figurehead. Like the boss of the brothers,
they lead you to believe that
group.
Yeah.
Come to find out later, another character, Polly, was actually taking care of stuff while all the guys were in the war. Blah blah blah.
Right.
And then they all came back in sort of different stages, and Arthur, being the oldest, naturally was sort of the figurehead boss. They didn't need one because there was nothing to really. It was just kind of a
most
brotherly
guys were at war.
Operation, you know, so there was no real need for it, and they kind of get through that like right away, I thought, which was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, that's it? You're done?
That's it. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay, so basically, there's another family somewhere else in England. I don't know if it's exactly not London yet. We haven't gotten that far. The Lees are not from London, right?
No. They're so, outside Birmingham, I thought.
Very much towards the beginning of the first season, you come to find that the Shelby has almost like a rival in the area, the Lee family, and they, they're kind of the same thing. There's a small time, just family criminal organization.
They're the gypsies, though, right?
Yeah, I think they're all the gypsies, but they're trying to, make some moves into Shelby's, and they're kind of overlapping, and they're kind of fighting back and forth. And then, you find out about, the bigger crime bosses that are in the bigger cities, i.e. London. And so basically the Shelby's and the Lees decide, why don't we, enemy of my enemy kind of thing. And they all start going after, the major bosses. So they kind of start working together. I won't go into detail on how that came to be, but mm-hmm. So they work together as a group to go on and take on the London family, which I can't remember those guys' names. But all the while that this is all going on, you can see all these smaller factions starting to try to go for the power grabs here in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Chief Inspector Chester Campbell from...
I think he is from London.
Yeah, he is like...
But he's Irish-born.
Yeah, he's Irish-born, but he's like, one of the top dog police guys in London. And they bring him down because, it's a small town. A lot of the cops are kind of working for the Lees or the Shelbys. So he's kind of here to clean house, fix the corrupted bullshit, and take out these small organizations, clean up all the shit, and go back to London. So he brings with him, Grace Burgess, mm-hmm. Burgess, whatever, played by Annabelle Wallace. She goes undercover as basically just a barmaid at Shelby's Bar,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, tries to get in with the family so that, the inspector can have his inside man and get some information, figure out where things are going so he can start busting heads or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And, it's the standard, girl, put in place to take down criminal organization. Girl falls in love with the boss.
Yeah. Girl. That old chestnut.
Yeah. That chestnut. Oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Again, trying not to go too much into detail here, for those of you who haven't watched it, but, just trying to fill in some of the spots here. You want to fucking add something here?
Wow, you're cruising. You're cruising right now.
Yeah, I'm
dude.
Pumping the brakes now to give you a chance to shine.
No. So basically they just have her in there, and that was good.
See, here's the thing. He watched season 4, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch the fucking first couple, and then we can do the podcast. And I watched first, two seasons without the last episode, because he's like, oh, we'll watch that. And then we'll podcast. And it's been 2 weeks now since I've watched all this, so I'm kind of a little...
No, basically, I think more to the point is, let's just get to the...
Oh, my God, we didn't even talk about the brother-in-law, who's not even on the list here.
Yeah, he is. He's down. He's down.
Where?
Way down. So. Yeah, he's way down there.
Well, I'm not looking at the full cast. I'm just looking at the main page.
Ido Goldberg, Freddie Thorne.
Yes.
So he plays Ada, who is the sister of the three brothers. Her boyfriend, who is also a childhood friend of the family, being Tommy and all that good stuff. And the first episode has a lot to do with communism as well.
First couple episodes, yeah.
Yeah. And then, without spoiling, it sort of goes away in the second season, comes back in a big way in the third season and fourth season, actually. The whole communist movement gets into it. And it's actually kind of interesting because at the time, this is obviously pre-World War whatever. So, you know, communism wasn't really necessarily
a horrible word
until Hitler made it one. You know what I mean? It wasn't a dirty word.
They were kind of...
It was just like being a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah, they weren't looked at more... They were looked at more as like the resistance than it was, you know, communism.
They were more
whatever.
Just rebels.
Yeah, and that's basically rebel scum.
Yeah.
So that's where
Freddie Thorne... treated. They weren't even allowed to group up.
Right. As they grew up, Shelby's went off to war. Freddie Thorne stayed back.
I think he was in the war.
Did he go to war?
Yep.
And maybe that's where, you know, he
just got a different outlook from it.
Yeah, he came back as a commie, and you know, so he's trying to work with the resistance, and the Shelbys kind of want nothing to do with it because that's bringing more attention to them than they need at this point.
And again, yeah, you got to really, it's just super hard to disassociate communism with World War II Germany. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which it's very much not like. So it's not like everyone's in there and, you know, hating on Jews. Like, it's not like that at all. I guess I want to make sure that people don't think that ahead of time, oh, I don't want to watch some show about communist stuff. It's really not. It's just kind of an underlying thing. Like, you know, imagine if you were trying to build a Republican movement. I don't know. That would be almost just as stupid, I guess. So there's that. But yeah, he's part of that. The characters I don't know if you'd say it's great casting or just great acting or great writing or great everything, but everything's done pretty well as far as I'm concerned. There's not much need for tons of effects. There's a little bit.
I mean, there's fire. That's about it.
But that's about all they could do back then.
Handful of explosions.
I mean? Yeah, there's not some small arms fire, but other than that, it doesn't really get... too crazy, at least not in the first two seasons, for sure.
Well, they had that one bar that blew up, and then they had a couple cars, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, and that'll continue, you know, small grenade stuff, but it's not really an effects-driven show, other than if you want to call the costumes and set design part of the effects, because that's also done quite well, in my opinion. Cars, all of that stuff. Which is actually pretty impressive, too. They have a ton of old-timey cars and trucks and everything. Like, even trains, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's a well-done show, honestly.
Oh, yeah, they put a lot into it.
And it's another one that where I think it's a hidden gem that Netflix has. You know, I really don't think Netflix does enough to advertise, if that makes any sense.
I don't really think they... care so much or need to. They're
I guess, but
I mean you would think they should, but
there's
I don't
so
know.
Many there's so, I mean case in point once again the movie What Happened to Monday. We just did a podcast on that. You and I both passed that show over for 2 months
minimum.
I had it on my watch list, but who cares?
Yeah,
because I got everything on my watch list. You watched it and we're like, oh yeah. So then I watched it. I mean, I might have waited another 2 months to watch it.
Right.
You know, because I happened upon Peaky Blinders just because I was like, ah, I'll watch an episode, see what's up with this. And literally sat down and finished the first season like the first day I watched it because it was I had nothing to do that day. So
six episodes.
Yeah, there's six episode seasons, which actually, to be honest, at first I was like, ugh, that's it. But really, they get everything in there.
Oh, no, they nail it, which is weird because when, like, they did Defenders, that was 8 episodes, I was like, that's just not enough.
Yeah, right.
But you're also taking 4 major fucking Marvel characters and squeezing them into a buddy cop series that ended way too short.
Yeah. See, and another thing with this show is, you know, there's a solid 20 recurring characters that are pivotal to the storyline, too. And you feel like you get enough time with almost all of them. And I was just going through the list on IMDb and kind of cross-checking, like, you know, episodes. That's one of the things I hate that IMDb does, just for everyone's record, is list how many episodes they're in. Because if you're going to binge right now and you want to see who's probably not in season 3, go ahead and scroll through there and see how many episodes they're in. You know, Tommy Shelby, it says it on there, spoiler alert, 24 episodes. That's all 4 seasons.
Yeah.
There ain't that many other people that have 24 fucking episodes. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I've already seen it.
Well, see, well, just counter argument. Mm-hmm. 6 episodes for Adrian Brody. He hasn't shown up yet.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah.
I didn't even know he was in the show. I am a huge Adrian Brody fan.
He's 4th season, and you will.
Actually, I think we did have a talk about that.
Originally, when I saw his face, I was like, might be too hammy right now. And then he got some screen time. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he was
legitimately pretty good.
I got over that worry about Adrian Brody fucking years, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Summer of Sam was amazing. Yeah. And then once you throw in, like, The Pianist, and then, you know, Call Me a Dork if you want, Predator.
Dude, he ruled in that movie. My man did some push-ups and everything. No, he was, I actually really want to watch that movie right now.
I mean, I got all day.
That's a fun movie.
Well, not all day.
It really is a fun Predator movie, though.
It is.
Anyways.
And the only one that kind of I don't like so much in it is the kid from the 70s show. He turns out to be trying to be the shyster, but he's terrible at it.
Oh, yeah, but that almost made it even better because he's just like, dude, you suck.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's like, yeah, I do suck.
But, so anywho, basically, without going into huge details, by the end of season 1,
we're making big moves.
We're making big moves. You know, they make big waves into legitimizing their bookie house, because right now it's just a criminal thing, but they're trying to, you know, go legit. And as they, the best way for him to do it, you know, is to not get busted with a ton of cash. So he starts investing in properties and, right. You know, hey, guess what, auntie? Here's a house. Hey, sis, yeah. I know you hate my guts, but here's a motherfucking house.
Yeah, do this thing. You know, I'm buying a horse.
Yeah, well, yeah. So that's basically season 1 kind of wraps up, or right at the beginning of season 2, one of the two, I don't remember, whatever. It's in there somewhere, towards the end of 1, beginning of 2, where he buys a horse. I believe it's the beginning of season 2, because that sets the tone for the entire season.
Yeah, it's sort of everything sort of revolves around the horse, the track, and the associated business dealings that lie right, within.
Finding a trainer for the horse, getting squared away with the track and the bookie business to try and bring that up more. You get a little more of the London crowd, I believe, in this one in most episodes, because they don't like what they're seeing with this Shelby punk coming up and coming up in the world, and they're just. Because they're the bigger organization and they come from London and they have all the cops on their payroll in London, they feel untouchable, and it's kind of their downfall in the end.
Who are you talking about?
Just the London crowd.
The Italians?
Sure.
Who is it? Sabatini?
Maybe.
That comes down first? Yeah, that's Sabatini, I believe.
But again, they're awesome actors, but their characters basically, they underestimate the
show.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. What part?
So, wait, bought the horse,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Get a trainer. Mm-hmm. That trainer's name is Mae Carlton, played by Charlotte Riley, whose spouse is Tom Hardy, who was also on the show. Yeah. So the chick that I was saying was super hot, Tom Hardy's going to probably beat me up. All right, cool.
Yeah. She looks super familiar, man.
Yeah, I know. I think she's got to be in a couple of. She's it says that she's on some the Wuthering Heights. I think I've heard of that show. It's obviously not an American show. But I thought somebody else was an actor from that. Edge of Tomorrow she was in.
Jesus Christ. I got nothing.
Trying to think of what else. Edge of Tomorrow. I wonder who she was on that. Oh, I think I do know who she was on that.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I know for sure.
I don't know where I recognize her from. I think she looks like somebody else.
Not yeah, that's crazy that she's Tom Hardy.
I don't know. I like the fact that, is what it is, but, they're using basically a bunch of English and Irish fucking actors and actresses to play these roles instead of having, the big American names trying to do a shitty accent. They just went straight to the source and like, hey, you guys are all the stars over here, kind of, that deal.
And to be honest, I hate to say it because everyone gets mad. I'm going to say this tactfully. I'm kind of sick of Tom Hardy. Like, everything.
What?
Well, let me finish what I'm saying here. Because every time somebody talks about something, oh, Tom Hardy. Like, there's other people that can do acting, just so everybody knows. Having said that, he's super fantastic in this show. But he also plays a role that he doesn't normally play, sort of like he did in The Revenant. The only good thing about The Revenant was Tom Hardy, my opinion.
What am I missing here? Like, since when is Tom Hardy, like, the guy that everyone talks about?
Dude, he's been in, like, 948 movies in the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, everything is, like, Tom Hardy for this, and Tom Hardy should be Wolverine, and Tom Hardy should do that. And
you know who I want
to
see?
And he's just plugged into so much stuff where it's like, whatever happened to, like, a movie every 2 years or something? Make me want to see it. I mean, again, he's fantastic in this show.
You know who I want to see pop up in Peaky Blinders? Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Yeah. See, now there's a guy who I think doesn't get enough screen time.
He was for a long time.
Oh, for a long time. He was, I think that's what happened. Everyone's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't see this guy's face no more. He was good in Fantastic Beasts. Plays the the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I think he's got something coming.
Dude, in Bruges.
Oh, yeah, that's already been out. That's the best movie there is.
Well, I don't know about that.
That was like his...
it's like second best.
No, that's like, as far as I'm concerned, In Bruges is for Colin Farrell what Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was for Robert Downey Jr. You know what I'm saying?
Or you can say what Snatch was for Brad Pitt.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, just those movies that are not their normal, but so good. And you couldn't, once you see him do the role, you're like, man, why would it be anybody else? Colin Farrell just kills in that movie.
That was his name.
Who?
Billy Kimber.
Kimber.
That's from the first season, right?
Kimber. Pretty much. Who's that? Crap.
Billy Kimber. He was the gangster from end of season one, maybe beginning of season two. Tall, real fucking like snotty fucking guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was awesome. Played by Charlie Creed Miles, mm-hmm. FYI.
Mm-hmm.
Kimber.
Not 24 episodes.
No. Well, and that's the weird thing because I remember him. He must have been mentioned a lot because he was only in 4 episodes so far.
Well, and spoiler alert, obviously Tom Hardy made it through season 2. He's only listed for 10 episodes. He's not in every episode. So, some of these guys obviously don't have to be in every single episode.
Well, since we're talking a lot of shit here about Tom Hardy, let's just get into it. Basically, Tom Hardy, quote unquote, runs a bakery in mm-hmm. town where he actually just makes booze and sells it. So that he's kind of like, which isn't a big deal in England, but right now it's prohibition in the States.
Right.
So he's got a huge export business.
Right.
So
prohibition is just getting underway or is just getting in full swing, I guess, is the way to put it.
So, it's not illegal for him to be doing what he's doing, but it is illegal for him to be exporting that to the United States. So, he's doing some criminal organization stuff himself. So basically what the Peaky Blinders do, they recruit a bunch of guys and say, you're going to work for this bakery baking bread. And then because the Peaky Blinders run the docks in the area or a lot of the docks, they get his stuff shipped to America. Mm-hmm. On this end, they have it taken care of, and they kind of form a partnership that, I don't know, Tom Hardy fucking rules in this show.
No, and he plays Alfie Salmons. Basically, he's like the Jewish gangster. Which is actually so good. Like, dude, the stuff that comes out of this guy's gibberish mouth is 90% of the time, like a priceless gem of conversation. I mean, and he only gets better.
The best part about him is, for him, it's basically fuck everybody.
Yeah, whatever deal suits business. Me right this very second is what I'm doing.
Yeah, I have no loyalty to anything but business.
Yep.
Which I find awesome. It makes for an extremely interesting character because you're forming this partnership with the Shelbys to kind of help each other out, grow as a team almost. And then like at the end, by the end of season two, it's like, oh yeah, but now this is going down. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite understand why he was supposed to get 100%.
He wasn't supposed to. He was just taking it.
Right, but
that was his power play to say to just eliminate the Peaky Blinders, but it obviously failed.
So was he the one that got Arthur out?
Yeah. Also. Mm-hmm. But he's also the guy that
and
got
that was
Arthur
the thing.
In.
Okay, so Arthur's fucking out now, so now your shit is mine.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
That was going to be the deal.
You didn't hear that.
Right.
But yeah. But
there's
awesome.
It's super interesting because, you know, in the day of 1920s England or 1920s anywhere, I would imagine, it's almost hard to believe how rudimentary everything was. I was just telling Scott earlier, we were talking about, I'm talking to you like you're in the third person or something.
I am.
While we were talking earlier about the, it's as simple as going down there, finding the actual piece of paper gaming license, ripping it, having your own already, and now it's all your stuff. Like, it's just, it's, if you want it, you could basically physically take it.
I don't think it was so much that I rip up your shit, so now it's mine. It's I ripped up your shit, now you have no proof that you have a license.
Right.
I'm assuming that, you know, the government wasn't keeping records. They were just handing out licenses.
Right.
But, you know, well, that's the same thing. Like, you
yeah,
find
they didn't
out,
have it backed up on the laptop.
Right. You find out that the bar that the Shelbys were running in the first season, well, I mean, they still have it in the second season. They got it just by walking in there one day and going, hey, guess what? This is fucking ours now.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner was like, well, I ain't fucking with you, so
yeah.
I guess I'm the barkeep.
Well, that's what, if I'm not mistaken, they actually paid him for it, the bartender.
Oh, I'm sure they did, but I'm sure it was way
because,
under.
Because it was... If I'm also not mistaken, pretty sure Tommy actually bought that for Arthur, right?
I believe so.
Wasn't it for Arthur?
Yeah.
Cuz that was kind of like Arthur's dream was to just have a bar and chill and
the
blah,
bar,
blah blah blah.
Well,
Arthur's always trying to tell you how much he don't want to do this shit, but he's also the best dude at doing this shit. So he's kind of weird.
Here's why I think Arthur is one of the best characters on the show is, you know, they kind of make it seem like he's too unstable to be the boss.
Mm-hmm. And
he
not smart enough?
No, he's absolutely smart enough, but he is 100% unstable enough, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got the know-how. He doesn't have the control. And a lot of that reason is because, A, he's clearly suffering some kind of PTSD from the war, but he's also now trying to not cure that, but... medicate himself with cocaine and whiskey. So it's just not a good mixture, but for the show's sake, it's a great mixture because Arthur fucking rules.
Yeah, he gets on some pretty significant benders, which are pretty amazing. Did he have his fight in the gym?
Oh god, that was first.
Was it the first season?
Might have been beginning of second season.
Yeah.
that was well. Basically, what you have is
well. Nothing in this show never has. I'll spoil this. Normally, if something happens, it comes back.
Yeah.
Every character. There's been a couple now that were you might have seen them in the first season for an episode and something happened. Whatever. Normally, this show does a good job of overlapping everything and re-intertwining everything. So. So everybody's part, no matter how small, is actually significant, I guess, if that makes some kind of sense.
Right.
And that will be extremely significant. I can tell you that. Extremely. I don't see my face right now.
See, we were streaming live on Facebook. Ugh. Nobody watching it.
Nobody. No, everyone would see my face right now like, oh, Jesus Christ, this guy's serious.
Right.
And I am. I'm very serious.
I feel like I was going to
say something about significance and Arthur. So I want to talk about the multiple women on the show real quick, too, because 1920s, not a great time for women globally.
Oh, let's be honest. 2018, not the greatest
also,
time
yeah,
for
probably
women.
Not the greatest either. But yeah, so there are lots of prostitutes. There are lots of all kinds of women. So they keep them separate, though. So obviously, Ada Shelby, she's not some pushover chick. Let's just
right
to say it.
She's kind of a badass.
Yeah, no, she's actually super. There's Lizzie, who's a reoccurring character, who actually is a prostitute. But was. She gets out of the business, blah, blah, blah. She's actually, honestly, one of my favorite characters. You have May, who's the horse trainer. You have Grace, who's the actual police officer. So there are women in, like, roles of respectability as well. So I think it's a pretty good show. And all the women cast are actually do a great job. I didn't really like the actress that played Grace when she first walked in. I was like, because she's supposed to be attractive. And, like, I'm like, meh.
I liked her more in season one. But yeah, she's hardly in season two.
Yeah, she's
which I won't say why, but she's not really in season two until closer to the end, and she's almost not the same person. But I mean, it's been, you know, a year has passed or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, time has passed and shit has happened.
Yeah,
but I liked her better as like the undercover barback.
Yeah,
who would just serve drinks and sing,
being sneaky.
Yeah,
yeah, I kind of like
sneaky
that.
Blinders.
Yeah, that was a real good one, dude.
I wonder if anyone else caught that.
No, nobody did. Anyways, I forgot what I was talking about now.
Because of my great comedy. Yeah. Take this show on the road.
I've been dumbfounded. So, yeah, I think that's all done well. There is no princess yet. She'll be coming along.
What?
Sorry, that was a spoiler. She's so hot. I forget her name. She's a...
Who's Linda?
He starts dealing... Arthur's wife. Linda Shelby.
When did this happen?
So, spoiler alert again. I guess that is season three.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It must be season three. I don't want to get too into it, but yeah, he gets hitched. So does... So does John. Actually, I think everyone's married in season three, to be honest. So... Spoilers.
Even Inspector Chester Campbell?
I mean...
He's
married to Jesus. So... So, yeah, but honestly, I love Ada in the show. I love Polly in the show. I love all the women cast.
So
not super fond of Grace, but she's not bad at all. I mean, I like her.
The prostitute was Lizzie?
Lizzie, yeah. She's the tall, skinny one.
Oh, I know who she is.
Yeah.
I just, because, like, she's literally been in, like, three episodes so far, but now she's basically in every episode from here on out.
Yes, very much.
Because it says she's in 15 episodes, and I've only seen her, like, three
times. No, yeah, she's in and out in the beginning, but,
I assume it's the same thing with Sergeant Moss, because he's the guy at the end of season two, right?
I believe so. Why is he in a ton? Yeah, well.
15 episodes.
Well, once a quick recap on season two now is once they get into the horse track and whatnot, they're starting to, Tommy's real goal is to legitimize a large portion of the dealings by any means necessary. So through illegitimate measures, legitimize everything. And open up more offices. I think he ends up, he wants to move some stuff to London and this, that, and the other thing. So Michael, who's also another good addition to the cast, is Paulie's son. At the closing scene, tells Tommy he wants to get down with some of this. So having said all that, he moves. Lizzie becomes a bigger part of corporate... Shelby Company Limited, basically. So, yeah, she's around a little bit, which is good. Because, like I said, I actually like her as a character. She's pretty good. And there's a big season three, whatever. There becomes a more of a woman's movement sort of deal going on in rural England. Or I guess it's urban, because there's actually like factory work and stuff like that. But it gets a lot into the communism and unionizing of labor strikes, this, that, and the other thing. It gets, I don't want to say complicated, but it gets in-depth is what it does. But it's very good. So that's all I got on that. So anyways, yeah, I mean, I give it like a 3.5.
Per episodes, 12 episodes, that's a 36.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. Overall, I think the show is super good.
Yep.
Cillian Murphy, I was absolutely not a fan of. Like, I was going to say zero fanage. I almost didn't even try the show because of his face.
I don't understand that.
And I'm glad I did, because it might be odd, but he's not even my favorite character. I don't know who my favorite character on the show is. Might be Arthur. I really like Pauly, and I really like Ada. I like a lot of the characters equally, so I guess that's more the case. Tom Hardy rules the next two seasons.
I haven't seen that shit.
Yeah, believe me, it's worth watching just to hear him talk shit to people.
If you can understand him.
Yeah, but that's half the fun. So yeah, I think the show's super good.
I'm not going to lie. One of my favorites was Billy Kimber.
Yeah. Yeah,
for the whole four episodes he was in.
Yeah, no, there's
and what's his neck?
Who?
The fucking the preacher, the priest.
Jeremiah. Oh, yeah.
Benjamin Zephon.
What's his list? How many episodes?
9. Hmm. He's only been maybe about 3 or 4 by now.
Yeah, I think he makes some good appearances in season 4. His son actually is part of the, it becomes friends with Michael, if I'm not mistaken. Did they already go hang out at that bar?
They hung out at the bar and got beat trouble. Up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and then Arthur fucking stepped up.
Burn that mother down.
Dude, I will watch that scene.
Yeah, I was like, man, dude, you guys are a little excessive, though. Shit.
I just,
like, I mean, go in there and throw a beating down, but that shit, man.
That scene is just one of the keys as to why Arthur is the fucking best mm-hmm. thing on this show, man.
Yeah, no, he actually is extremely good.
Oh, no, we took care of it. No, you fucking didn't.
Yeah, he's real good. oh, I forgot. Well, that's season 3, so we'll talk about
Holy
that next time.
Holy jeez.
What do you got?
That Benjamin Zephaniah.
Mm-hmm.
He started out on the comic strip Presents in 1988.
Nice.
He played a role in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
He played the Bill in one episode of Vagrant TV series in 94.
Nice.
One episode of Crucial Tales in 96.
Nice.
And then Peaky Blinders for the last 4 years. With one miscellaneous crew credit, one miscellaneous writer credit, one thanks. Oh, shit. 32 self credits.
Oh, maybe he was doing his own shit. Maybe it was me. What was he doing? Stand up or something? Is he a comedian of some sort?
No, he's done a lot of himself. Okay.
Like plays or something?
No, TV stuff.
Hmm.
TV series, documentary, documentary short, TV movie, documentary, TV. Wow.
Interesting.
Not that anyone cares about all that. That was kind of my bad. Sorry.
We'll get him on the podcast.
I'll talk to him. Well, you can't understand him, but
I can understand everybody.
No, you can't, Mike.
What?
All right, so did you give it a number?
I don't even know what that accent was. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to shoot the moon with the...
It was Brostralian.
Yeah. I'm just going to shoot... shit. First two seasons, that's all we're talking about right now, is 8.5 for me.
I'll agree with that.
That's where I'm at.
I kind of feel like I should go higher.
No, you know what? If I was doing all four seasons right now, I would say 9. So there's a preview of what our next podcast should be like. And it might be better by then, because I might rewatch some of that fourth season, because it's pretty good. The fourth season's shit's going down. So it's pretty good. So that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, me too. So that was seasons 1 and 2 only of the Netflix series Peaky Blinders. Go on and check that out, and then go out and check us out. Ba-da-pow. All right, that's all for now. Have a good week.